Lots going on in Washington this week. The Senate takes up immigration today. The president has unveiled a $4.4 trillion budget plan and his long-awaited infrastructure plan, all while the White House is still dealing with the fallout from the resignations of two staffers accused of domestic abuse. Joining us for the latest is Ron Elving, NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Jeremy.
And let's start with immigration. Congress has only 3 weeks before the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, or DACA, expires. Senators have tried and failed to pass immigration reform legislation in the past and legislation protecting DACA recipients. Might they be able to do it this time?
They have one great advantage, and that is that there's no budget drama around this particular debate. We don't have the threat of a government shutdown. We don't have all of the opposition over all of the issues that are involved in the spending bills. So they should be able to focus on it, and if there is any kind of a deal out there that they could reach, they should be able to focus on it under this kind of free-for-all program where there is no one given bill.
And they've only got a few weeks left to do that before the DACA recipients lose their protection.
That is the real deadline at this point. But there's another good thing that they have to deal with at this point, and that is a little bit of clarity on where the president stands, what he would like to see in the bill. That has been a murky issue in the past. So if the president wants the things that he says in his four-point program, and a group of seven senators have actually put that into formal actual form, and it's called the Secure and Succeed Act. It's got the border wall money. It's got an end to what has been called family reunification. It's also been called blockchain immigration. This has given a little bit of a form to the discussion. And then the president would also, under those circumstances, be willing to have an amnesty program and an eventual path to citizenship for the Dreamers, that is, the people who were brought here by their parents illegally when they were still children.
The president has also released his own budget today, which includes an infrastructure plan, cuts to social programs, even more money for the military. Does this budget have any chance in Congress?
It's what they call a vision document, Jeremy. It's not really intended to be a hard-nosed budget. It's not really intended to be adapted or adopted by Congress. Congress has already decided what it wants to do with its spending caps, and that does not include a lot of cuts. It does include cuts in some areas, but overall, it greatly increases spending over the next couple of years, both for defense and for domestic programs, something like $300 billion. Kick that out over 10 years, it just gets bigger and bigger. It is a record level of spending and a record level of deficit.
What about the infrastructure part of that budget? Is that going to go anywhere? We spoke with the former Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell today, who said it's a joke because only a small fraction of the money would come from the federal government.
It is a massive idea, but it is not in any sense a plan, and it is certainly not a funded plan. The president has talked about $1.5 trillion worth of infrastructure. That sounds like a lot of roads and bridges over the next several years, but all that the president is putting behind it in that first year is about $20 billion as a down payment towards eventually $200 billion. And that's a far cry from $1.5 trillion. And all the rest of it is supposed to come from the states, which are already strapped for funds and raising their gasoline taxes to try to make up for it, and also from private resources. Well, who are those investors going to be, and what will their profit be from providing some of this financing?
Meanwhile, Ron, the White House has been grappling with the resignations of two staffers accused of domestic abuse. David Sorensen, a speechwriter, resigned on Friday after reports of alleged violence against an ex-wife. And then, of course, last Wednesday, the White House staff secretary, Rob Porter, also resigned after two ex-wives accused him of abuse. President Trump defended Porter's character and argued he deserves due process. Here's counselor to the president, Kellyanne Conway, addressing the stories that led to Porter's resignation.
The weight of those two stories together, I think, compelled Rob to do the right thing and to resign. What the president is pointing out is that all the while that he is denying these, quote, vile allegations, but that he doesn't want to further engage in this orchestrated public smear campaign.
Kellyanne Conway speaking on CNN's State of the Union yesterday. Ron, what do you make of the White House response here?
The White House is still trying to defend its response because apparently there was some dispute as to what Rob Porter told his boss, John Kelly, the chief of staff. Of course, ultimately his boss is Donald Trump, who's sort of caught in between here because on the one hand, he wants to talk about vile allegations. What's vile here? The acts of abuse alleged by the two wives, or the act of alleging those acts of abuse? The president is unclear on this point, and he has quite a long history of defending people who are accused of abusing their wives or other forms of sexual harassment or sexual abuse. So in that context, it's not clear really what the president is trying to say, and it's not clear where the White House stands on all of this.
NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving. Ron, thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.